Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
We are fantastic today. How are you guys?
We are doing wonderful. And, Corey, we'll get to the Titans here in just a few minutes, but I do want to get your thoughts on the Nashville Predators. They've won five in a row, seven out of their last eight, and they find themselves, as we sit here today, back into a playoff spot. Number one, how surprised are you that they've been able to do this, and do you think this is sustainable for the Predators as they move forward here?
Well, I'm stunned. And I frankly don't think it would have happened without the injuries that they've had, because you bring in some hungry players, and this is what happens. I mean, you see the guys doing all the little stuff, you know, the working on the boards, the sacrificing in front of the net, the protecting the goaltenders, and the goalies are playing great. And, you know, I don't know if it's energized, embarrassed, or what some of the veterans, but some of them have stepped up their game now along the way. And I do think it's sustainable to the aspect of holding that fourth playoff spot, because the teams that are underneath them are not playing great hockey.
Yep.
And so if they can continue to play close to this level, they have to play, you know, they have to win five in a row. But if they can continue to play this style and continue to consistently put up points, because haven't they won like seven out of eight as well?
Yeah.
I mean, and again, they have to win seven out of eight, but just consistently put up points. They should be in good shape, because the other teams seem to be taking on water fast.
So if you were David Poile, would you?
Oh, I wouldn't change my goal of unloading some dead weight. I think it's been nice, because you've seen some of the guys in your system can help you, and you can lower your cap and you can look to retool. Because you can't pay guys, you know, $8-9 million a year and not get anything from them consistently. And again, that consistency is the key. You've got to know what you're going to get. And with some of the guys on this hockey team, day to day, week to week, they don't know what they're going to get. And if they do know, it's not enough.
And Corey, to that point, I mean, we've talked about a lot this year in the fan base at one point, very critical of John Hines and the way that this team was playing. How much credit do you think John Hines deserves for the turnaround that we've seen as well?
Well, you know, I have said that I've had a hard time judging John Hines, because he inherited this mess of trying to fix it. And it wasn't necessarily, in my opinion, fixing a system. It was a culture of, you know, just not doing the stuff that you've got to do. We talked about the effort and the desire just did not seem to be there. And, you know, does he get credit for it? Do the kids get credit for it? I don't know. I think he's been a steady force. I think his message has unwavered. I'm not an expert on offensive systems or defensive systems, but I know this, they're not giving up a lot of goals right now.
Yeah.
So I like that, and he's the head coach, and so, you know, when they're struggling, people want to fire him, and when they're winning, they deserve some of the credit.
I'm recruiting people to join me on Team Rondale. Would you like to join me, Corey, on Team Rondale Moore for the Titans?
Rondale,
or are you a questioner of Rondale?
I'm a questioner of everyone. Okay.
That's right.
There aren't many guys that I don't question. You know what I'm a fan of? Best player available. That's what I'm a fan of.
Oh, yeah. So, like, okay, so let's dive into that a little bit, because we've had some fans text us over the last couple of weeks asking, okay, does best player available actually mean best player available, or does it mean best player available at the position that you need the most? Because that is an interesting, I think, distinction that general managers have to make at times.
I think, for the most part, just best player available. Because we've seen too many times where great players get passed on because someone drafts for need. And, you know, look, you're always looking to make your team better. And, you know, you may have, let's look for just a guy who's a good player. You know, you may have Harold Landry on the edge, and he's a good player. And you've got Bud Dupree, and he's a good player. But if you think there's an elite level pass rusher there at 22, you've got to take him. I mean, he makes your team better if you think he's an elite level player. You know, same goes at wide receiver. At tight end, if there's an elite level guard, you can make your team better. And if it's, you know, overstepping, and look, I don't think this is going to happen, but say it's, you know, a guard who can replace Roger Saffold, well, now you're in a position to save your team $9 million against the cap. But I know that's harsh and that's cruel and whatever, but that's how this is done, okay, with good young players who help you against the cap. And you don't help yourself by passing on players who are better. I always go back to the draft and said how many teams passed on Aaron Rodgers because they had a quarterback, or another draft when how many teams passed on Adrian Peterson because they had a running back, okay? The guy's the best player on the board. Chances are he's going to be better than somebody on your team, or that he's at least going to be able to get on the team field to help your player. And you're going to have that guy for 5 years, you know, not for one or two. And so, you know, yes, there are exceptions to the rule. But I think also with where the Titans are at, position-wise, I think the best player on the board is in a spot to help them virtually everywhere, whether it be corner, whether it be linebacker, whether it be defensive line, whether it be offensive line, whether it be wide receiver. Pretty much the only place would be running back. And, you know, you just invested a third there and you've got Derrick Henry. That would be tough to justify a running back at number 22. But you could be looking at your cap situation next year and saying, we don't know what we're going to get from Derrick Henry. He's had a lot of carries. You could justify it that way. I don't think that that's a great justification, but you could do it.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because I hear what you're saying with all that, but I feel like you still have to have need in mind along with your BPA, best player available mindset, because the Titans could have Najee Harris ranked as the best player clearly on their board overall.
Or a quarterback.
Yeah, right, and sit there at 22, and then I would say don't do it. But to your point,
I get that.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, to your point, I mean, they're going to have maybe it is, because I've kind of gone to the mindset of, okay, is it a receiver or is it a corner there? But if there's an edge that they absolutely love,
yeah,
and have ranked higher than any of the corners receivers, go with the edge, right?
Yeah, because you can get a corner or a receiver in round two. You have two picks in round three. You got three more swings at it in the top 100. Three more. And, you know, I think the one thing we've seen over the last couple of years is there's a lot of good players. I mean, A.J. Brown was a second-round pick. That one turned out pretty darn well. Kevin Byard was a third-round pick. That one has turned out pretty darn well. You know, I mean, you could argue that those picks have been better than the Titans' first-rounders. So there are good players, you know, all over the board. I can't tell you right now, you know, which positions are the greatest position of depth in this year's draft. I'm not smart enough to be able to tell you that. I just know this, that you do a mock draft and you do it 10 times, and each time probably you're going to be excited about the 3-4 players that you got.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Corey, I'm going to throw a hypothetical your way. You can pick one of these if you're a Titans fan. You can have all-pro level Kevin Byard back next year or Taylor Lewan at a Pro Bowl level coming back from injury. Which one do you choose? Which one's more important to you?
I think, you know, I think a left tackle in particular is always going to be more important because you've got to be able to protect your quarterback. So I think that's kind of a loaded question. You know, you have to look at what their numbers are, how many years left, what their age is, because Taylor is now over 30 and coming off of an ACL. Now, he's still a freakish athlete, in my opinion. But, you know, those are some of the things that you have to weigh. You know, how many years left do you think Taylor has with your football team versus how many years left do you think Kevin has with your football team? But as a whole, left tackle is always going to be valued way more than safety.
What the heck happened to Sister Jean, Corey?
You know, I was stunned. You know, the Missouri Valley I thought was headed to the Elite Eight. I don't know what's going on in the Pac-12, but there must be something in the water because the Pac-12 got Alabama as well. I don't know. It's all about getting hot at the right time, and the Pac-12 is a league, evidently, is getting hot at the right time. I think the Ramblers ran out to a quick lead in that one, and I felt really, really good about it.
I didn't think Oregon State was going to score 20 points in that game after the first 8 minutes.
I think, you know, Sister Jean just got cocky. You know, I'm 102. I've been doing this forever. We're good. And she put the rosaries down, and it all went to hell.
Something in the water, or, as a tribute to Bill Walton, Pac-12's biggest fan, something in the brownies.
Could be.
Something,
yeah, I was
right?
I going to say, where are you going with this?
Lava lamps.
That's right. Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexler. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, you guys have yourself a great week. Thanks.
You as well, my friend. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Corey had to say there and take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.